Every year in New South Wales, children are being detained because they are experiencing homelessness. Currently in New South Wales, if a young person has been granted bail by the Children's Court of New South Wales, their release is dependent on the child having safe, suitable accommodation. So, what happens to young people experiencing homelessness? Under Section 28 of the New South Wales Bail Act, they are not released until accommodation is found. From January 2018 to January 2019, 260 children and young people were unable to be released despite their conditional bail because they were experiencing homelessness. Of those children, the highest number of days that a child was detained was 45 days. And a large portion of these children identify as Aboriginal or Torres Strait Islander, making up 41%. The New South Wales peak body for youth homelessness, Y Foundations, has released a policy paper this week, written by Natalia Gale, calling for immediate attention and remedy to this act. The CEO of Y Foundations, Zoe Robinson, joins us now. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you so much for coming back. You joined us a couple of weeks ago to talk about the rise of youth homelessness.
Indeed.
So today we're talking about Section 28 of the New South Wales Bail Act. Can you tell us what are the issues surrounding this act and how it's affecting young people?
Thanks so much for having us again. As you rightly pointed out, we've seen since 2015 an increase from 60 to 260 young people who are affected by this act. One of the main concerns is the impact it has on future outcomes. We know that those who are young people who are held in remand start to disengage with school, the health impacts it can have, the social impacts it can have, the mental health impacts it can have. So it's not just about the home situation, it's about what it then does in terms of their future trajectory as well.
Right, right. And from what I understand, this act was originally meant to basically accommodate young people that appear in front of the court. But what's happening is that it's not happening as quickly or as smoothly as it was intended to. Why is this happening? What's the barriers?
I think the intention of the act, as you rightly pointed out, was to see young people be accommodated and to not release young people without accommodation. So what's actually happening is we're seeing a system that is under strain in terms of the numbers and in terms of the issues that we're dealing with, and not the appropriate accommodation for young people to go to and not at the time that is needed. And so the courts and the agencies that are in and around this space are in a hard place because there's no places for young people to go. So there's physically limited beds, but also they have a duty to ensure that the young person and the children are being sent to a place that is safe and stable for them as well.
And the policy paper mentioned also the back and forward of whose responsibility is, whether it's FACTS, Family and Community Services or other agencies. Is that an issue as well?
I think the paper points out that there is kind of a policy that sits around this. The difficulty becomes when you have children who may be in the care of the ministers and those who aren't in the care of the minister. The difficulty you might have is where parents don't consent to things or don't allow things to happen.
Right.
But also the reality is all those agencies are under strain. They've got pressures in terms of meeting their own workloads. And so it is about how agencies work well together, but also around providing the right and appropriate opportunity for young people and accommodation for young people.
So in the policy paper, a lot of the magistrates also highlighted this as an issue. So if we're seeing so many people flag this issue, why haven't we seen things change yet?
I think the difficulty is the intention of the act is there, and it was with the right intention, and the situation has changed, the numbers have increased that we've seen, and agencies and services are working hard to solve this problem. But there is also a need for understanding and a need for an agreement between those agencies and parties to understand who has the responsibility for this young person. In the reality is the young person who is in this situation is in need of assistance. And so we should put that as our primary concern and do everything we can to wrap around that young person in their situation of need. There are some incredible magistrates who are working really well. There are some great programs that are running in Newcastle as an example, that is trying to work around the parameters of Section 28 of the Bail Act and are seeing some great results in how they're managing these situations. We need to take learnings from places like that and from magistrates who are doing things differently and approaching things differently and see how we can incorporate that across New South Wales. But I think it starts by agencies, the courts and services and young people sitting down and saying, what is the best way of dealing with this situation? What is the best way we can manage the framework that we're in, and how do we see it improve for young people so we're seeing less people being held for longer periods of time for crimes that are quite minimal?
Mm. So do you think Section 28 of the New South Wales Bail Act is criminalising children and young people who are experiencing homelessness?
I think it is not solving the issue as to why the young person is there in the first place. So right. I think that the intentions were there, as we spoke about, and that there is an awareness that we do not want to see young people exited into homelessness. I think the reality is we need to be dealing with the whole problem and the whole person in that situation. And we need to ensure that whatever steps we're taking, it is in the best interest of that young person, in the best interest of their future, and in the best interest of their safety.
And so understandably, we just spoke about no young person should remain in custody simply because they are homeless. But on the other side, the court must have a duty of care, responsibility to ensure a young person experiencing homelessness are not released on conditional bail without accommodation. So how do we address this, and what are the recommendations that Y Foundation has put forward?
So the courts have a duty of care, and they are fully aware of that, and that's part of their tension that they have in terms of the young person who's presented before them not wanting to see them return to a situation that isn't ideal, that is unsafe. So they do have a duty of care, and they are fully aware of that. We're looking at recommending that we invest more in accommodation for young people in these situations, and that needs to be a variety of different forms of accommodation, and there are some great trials that are going on currently in New South Wales, and we should take learnings from that and roll that out where it's appropriate. We also need to work on an MOU, a memorandum of understanding between agencies, the courts and services, so people know who has the responsibility for this. And so that agency or that service is given the appropriate amount of funding and the appropriate amount of resourcing so that they can respond to these urgent situations to ensure that it's in the best interests of the young person.
Well, that's all we have time for. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
That was Zoe Robinson, the CEO of Y Foundations, the New South Wales peak body for youth homelessness, discussing issues surrounding Section 28 of the New South Wales Bail Act. If you would like to find out more, we'll pop up the policy paper on our website, 2ser.com/weekendbreakfast.